There are important meetings between heads of state happening all across the globe this coming week. Here for a look at some of the top international stories in the next few days is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, we'll get to two leaders coming to the U.S. in a moment. But first, on Friday, the leaders of North and South Korea are scheduled to hold their first summit in more than a decade. What does the potential seem to be there? How significant could this be?
A big deal, Mark, is really what I would say. So South Korean President Moon Jae-in, North Korean leader, who we all know, the little rocket man, of course, as President Trump described him, Kim Jong-un, will hold discussions which could prepare the ground for those talks between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. That would be a big prize, which is supposed to be end of May, early June, something like that. We don't yet know. Now, of course, Kim Jong-un recently visited Beijing, the big power broker in the region. Mike Pompeo visited Pyongyang. So as you know, there's been this kind of remarkable lead up to these talks in particular. The mood's been very good. Even this past weekend, Mark, the South Koreans have halted propaganda broadcasts, which they've traditionally broadcast across the border into North Korea, trying to turn some of their soldiers. So that's kind of all part and parcel of the good mood. The North this weekend announced that it was suspending nuclear tests and even closing a test site. So it's all going in the right direction, you would think. We asked the editor of BBC Korean, Kevin Kim, how the state-controlled North Korean media is presenting its leader right now, Kim Jong-un, ahead of these talks. He said Kim Jong-un is being heralded as, quote, magnanimous.
The narrative is that they're in a position to negotiate, not because of economic difficulties, but in strength as a bona fide nuclear power. Kim Jong-un has definitely tried to present a more accessible image to South Koreans, and possibly this kind of mood and tone will carry on during these talks with the South Korean president.
So, Mark, that's what residents of North Korea are hearing. So what about the mood in the South? Well, there are, of course, lots of critics, lots of doubters. People say they've seen it all before or some of it. Its leader, Moon Jae-in, is certainly indicating the North may this time be prepared for some sort of a deal. Take a listen to our reporter in South Korea, in Seoul, Laura Bicker.
His understanding, certainly from conversations between North and South envoys, is that Kim Jong-un is no longer putting that precondition on the table that American troops must leave the South Korean peninsula. And it's important because it's a huge sticking point in any deal between the US and North Korea. If indeed Kim Jong-un is taking it off the table, then it may make it easier for the two sides to make a deal.
So, Mark, your question was, how significant is all this? Well, the two big issues on the table really are the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. You could hardly get bigger than that, could you? And also, don't forget the Korean War. It never ended, really. There was an armistice. There was never a peace treaty. There could be now, or at least that's what some are saying. But as you can see, a very, very significant moment, if it happens, coming up this week.
Today, the French president is embarking on a state visit to the U.S. Later in the week, again on Friday, Germany's leader Angela Merkel is due to meet with President Trump. What do we read into these two visits this week?
Yeah, interesting. Merkel is due to meet Trump on Friday, as you say. It'll be her second visit to the White House since Trump took office. The last visit, of course, was marked by an awkward exchange where Trump seemed to ignore her request for a handshake during a photo opportunity in front of reporters. And they've been pretty rude to each other in the past. Trump said that Merkel was ruining Germany. The two have very different views about migrants, for example. Now, what they'll discuss is NATO. They'll discuss ways to combat Russian interference in Europe in particular. And Mrs. Merkel will raise concerns about the Trump administration's plans on tariffs, especially on steel and aluminium. But the big one, the big elephant in the room, is the Iran deal. And that brings us on to Macron, who, of course, kicking off, as you say, a state visit to the US today, the first one since Trump came to power. Now, this guy is called the Trump Whisperer. He seems to speak a language that Trump can understand, even though he's poles apart from Trump. I mean, this guy is pro-European Union, pro-globalist, in favor of the Paris Climate Accord, very much in favor of the Iran nuclear deal because he says there's no other, there's no plan B. Trump, of course, is skeptical of these things. Take a quick listen to what Macron says his position is on the Iran deal.
I don't have any plan B for nuclear against Iran. So that's a question we will discuss. But that's why I just want to say on nuclear, let's preserve this framework because it's better than a sort of North Korean type of situation.
Let me just add, Mark, before we leave this subject, Wouldn't it be ironic if Trump were to help denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, our first subject, but then provoke Iran into returning to a course where it develops such weapons? That would be a remarkable outcome to what we've got coming up. But anyway, Macron and Merkel, two big visits to the U.S. this week.
And Rob, finally, very, very exciting news for you over in the U.K. A new baby.
Absolutely. It's the Duchess of Cambridge. Everybody calls her Kate or Catherine. Usually it's Kate. And she's given birth to a son, her second. Kensington Palace announced the child weighed 8 pounds and 7 ounces. You can bet every single detail will be splashed across the the pages of our tabloids. I hope some of yours as well, Mark. This is the Queen's sixth great-grandchild and fifth in line to the throne. One little item for you. The name of the new prince has not yet been announced, but favourites at the bookmakers include Arthur, Albert, Frederick, James and Philip. I don't know about you, Mark. I don't feel too hurt that Robert or Mark are not in the frame.
No, I don't think mine was really ever up for consideration there, so I'm okay with that. All right. Well, that's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, good to talk to you. Thanks as always.
Thanks so much, Mark.